Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Bean. Joining me on the show, I have Spike, Shelton, and Nick.
What's going on?
What's happening?
We're glad to have you guys on board with us tonight as we go through the latest taking place in sports. And we get ready for the NFL season. We had some breaking news before the show started, so we'll probably get into that a little bit as the show goes on, but we don't want to go off script too much. So as we usually do, man, we're going to kick things off with our best performance of the week.
Best performance of the week, the Indiana Fever. Nick Ken, I know y'all are tapped into the WNBA. It's getting close to playoff time. The Fever have not had Caitlin Clough for a long time now, but they've won five straight games. They haven't played yet. They play later on tonight trying to get their sixth straight. Aaliyah Boston has had six straight double-doubles. The girl that we talked about on is the Mike Stallone King. I think it's Sophie Cunningham
or whatever it may be.
She's been hooping. She's been hitting the threes or whatever it may be. So they've been holding it down without Caitlin Clough. They're fighting for a playoff spot. And I just wanted to mention the WNBA, man. They getting into playoff season. The Fever are doing this without Caitlin Clough. And I just want to see how this plays out. Like, since the Aces ain't just the best team in Asia, ain't being talked about a lot, how it looks now when Caitlin Clough is on the bench, age ain't being the most talked about thing, and just what the other ladies do and the Fever are spearheading that by winning five straight games. So shout out to them.
What's funny to me is that Lou is doing a full 180, and you know we in the offseason when he talking about W, he's trying to show love to the lady W. I remember one time I had a segment on here, kid. I remember you know it too, and I was trying to give love to WNBA. Lou was like, what are we doing? We didn't have a meeting about this. So now he's doing it now.
It's different now.
Shout out to the Indiana Fever because they got Kelsey Mitchell, even though y'all got a crazy Kelsey Mitchell picture right here. She's from the hometown, Cincinnati, same high school and all that, same district. Shout out to her. She doing her thing. She was number two overall pick, too. So they had talent on that team before Kayla Goofy. Yeah. I ain't going to call it Goofy because that's the media that's talking.
They don't call you a racist.
Kayla got there, yeah. But Kelsey's the star of the team, in my opinion.
Beast. Mm. And she about that life.
Bruh,
some games, if you're better, you know what I'm talking about. Some games she is. Those women are so inconsistent. I can't take it. I'm specifically talking about WNBA.
He said, hey, shake it. He was like, the only balls they should handle is between my legs.
Hey, chill, Nick.
I don't know why they let them bet on them.
They've been tearing me up too, bro.
I'm mad. Next. Yes, Ness. That's what the hell y'all need to be wearing.
Show the bad, bro.
I am.
Did you hire him to throw them dildos on?
Hey, I would have.
And it was Sabrina
Ionescu, I'm coming for you.
You was at that game show. I know you was. You threw that on the court. I see your microphone.
Man. Same color. What?
It was the same color as your microphone.
Hey, his microphone was changed colors when he lying, bro. That's what
that's my best performance of the week, man. The Indiana Fever.
All right, man. Yeah, let's get out of that set. Like, Jesus Christ, you can't get it any more strong. Damn.
Long as Sheldon don't throw nothing else, man. We
just, I am. Hey, bro.
Sheldon, back to back, he was talking about Christian Wilkinson last week.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Sheldon with the mess.
Speaking of mess, last week, the Dallas Cowboys pass rusher Micah Parsons made a request to be traded from America's team. Parsons took to social media last Friday to make the announcement, sharing his version of the events that led to his decision to move away from the franchise he grew up adoring and that drafted him in the first round of 2021. Will Micah Parsons be a Cowboy by the beginning of the season, or do you believe he will get his wish and be moved from Dallas, Shelton?
Unfortunately, I think he still will be in Dallas. I think that...
You said fortunately or unfortunately?
Unfortunately. Although he wants to be an Eagle, we know that for sure, because he said as much, and A.J. Brown quoted him on saying it. I think that the money's going to be too great. Jerry's going to end up paying up. Jerry just likes drama, man. That's all it is, because drama sells. That's what keeps the Cowboys relevant. It's not about winning. Everybody thinks that sports ownership is about winning and losing games. It is not. Trust me when I say that. It's about all of the – it's WWE, man. It's entertainment. And you got to be entertaining. And Jerry is one of the best in the business at doing what he's doing. And so what we're seeing is him putting on a show. He talking junk because he don't care. He know them boys ain't going nowhere. The money talks. And he's going to sign just like everybody else, and he's going to still be there. And I believe as much. His brother said as much. Like, y'all know Jerry ain't going to let him go nowhere. Plus, they own his rights. So they're going to hold on to him, and he's going to be in Dallas. He's going to sign, get all the money he wants. I'm thinking, you know, about 40 a year, and he's going to stay put.
Nick, where's he going, bro?
I know we are anticipating Lou's response, but I'll say he's not going anywhere. Like, again, if you're not a quarterback, this shit don't matter to me. Like, and like I told y'all back when, like, it wasn't that long ago, people said the same thing about the Bengals trying to pay Jamar, trying to pay Joe Burrow. Like, it's like one of those things where, like, these big contracts always stall out. Every NFL team, Lamar Jackson had to request a trade to get paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just are a few months away from Myles Garrett doing that, where he wrote a whole fucking letter just like Parsons did, but he actually hand wrote that motherfucking letter. He was like, nigga, get me out of Cleveland. They gave him some more bread, and now he happy to start the regular season. So, like, I think they'll get it done probably by before, like, the day before week one starts. Similar, like, I think that's what – didn't they do that with Dak or somebody, something like that?
With Dak.
Zeke.
Oh, it was like right before. Yeah, so like I think they'll get it done. I think he'll stay. Will he re-sign after that, after this contract? Maybe not, but you got to get your money first. So I think he'll stay. And I think Jerry's not stupid enough to try to even trade out of this situation, because the season's already going to be – they're Super Bowl or bust. I know we say that every year, but with as much money as they're paying all these stars and all this stuff – they got to account for something. You just can't pay a roster like this and just get knocked out first round, if not make the playoffs.
I don't think it's stupid if you do trade them, because obviously you'll get a haul in return. And we've talked about the ineptitude or the lack of certain roster positions, right, that are going to have to be elite to compete with even just the teams in their division. Right now you have another elite quarterback in Jaden Daniels. I understand that Micah Parsons is a counterbalance to an elite quarterback, right, with a pass rush. But, bro, you need more linebackers. You need a better secondary. Like, there's so many other aspects of that team that if you do trade Micah, I don't think it's a bad move. I don't think it's a bad move if you keep him. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, something that you mentioned, Nick, like, they already have one of the highest paid quarterbacks. They already have one of the highest paid wide receivers. You're going to have one of the highest paid pass rushers. And you're going to be mediocre. And you're going to draft in the middle of the round. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's no wiggle room for them to actually get better. And to what Shelton was saying, you're 100% right. When it comes to ownership, as a fan, we always expect that their main goal is to win championships and to win games and that type of stuff. But when you hear reports of, you know, the Dolphins years ago when they had the black head coach
Brian Flores,
Brian Flores, and the ownership came to him and said, "Hey, you know, if you lose this game, I'll give you an extra 100 bands for every game that you lose. You're saying trying to move up in the draft. So it's a business, and it is a balance of winning and losing and trying to think forward and think ahead. But you're right. Jerry Jones loves drama. Jerry Jones wants to be in the news because that type of talk in the media, it sells. And that's partly why the Cowboys are what they are in terms of their evaluation, right? In terms of how much they're actually worth. But to me, I just don't like it, man. Like, Jerry Jones fancies himself a businessman. Just handle business. You should have paid him 2 seasons ago. We wouldn't even be here. And you would have got even a bargain. You know what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing. Now, I have seen Colin Cowherd. He was talking about where he was drafted. I think Michael was drafted like 12th or 13th or 14th, somewhere around there, where it has him slated. What was that?
11th.
11th. So it has him slated as the fifth highest paid pass rusher, even on his rookie deal. So it's not like he has exceeded, right, his base pay. It's okay, yeah. Could you get paid a little bit more? Yeah. But, bro, like, you're getting pretty well compensated off of your rookie deal.
You pocket watching now, FIFO. Come on,
bro. I'm not pocket watching. Look, at the end of the day, look, when we're talking about contract negotiations, it's about what the player feels that he's valued at. You know what I'm saying? It's a market. It is a market. And at the end of the day, when you get drafted third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, and you are fucking a Pro Bowler, nah, bro, pay me. Because I've exceeded this, what you're paying me. My value is way higher to you than what you're paying me. And for Micah, it's somewhat in line. So I understand them not being so quick. But on the other hand, you look at an organization like the Eagles, they pay everybody early and they're able to retain everybody. And 2-3 years down the road, you have bargain deals.
Yeah, but
where now you're overpaying.
Yeah, but if we had to redraft that draft again, Mike is going in the top five. Like, he's not.
I was just about,
you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, he would have got paid more, and he's earned his contract. Like, what he's about,
not even so much as the top five, because you're right about that, Nick. But Michael Parsons knows he's the best player on that team, and he's not negotiating with Jerry Jones in the sense of I'm the best player on that team. His agent is, and that's where this whole disruption comes to. Like, that agent is that he's a well-renowned agent in the NFL. He knows the value of a Michael Parsons. Michael Parsons went in and had a conversation with Jerry Jones, and that's where you had this whole mishap come from of him wanting to be traded. Jerry Jones started talking old white man slick, and Michael Parsons kind of agrees to some of it, and they think they got a deal. But now when the agent get involved, it's like, oh, no, we ain't doing it that way. We doing it with you guys negotiating with me. And that's been the biggest hangup in this scenario. Michael Parsons is going to get his money, but Jerry Jones has never been in this position as to where he's negotiating with the best player undoubtedly on the team. That wasn't a conversation with Dak. That wasn't a conversation with CD. It wasn't a conversation back in the day with Emmitt Smith, because you would throw Michael Irvin and you would throw Troy Aikman in there and other people who they thought were the best players on the team. Michael Parsons is going to this as, I'm undoubtedly the best player on this football team and the most valuable player on this football team. We've shown that through playoff games where Dak didn't do shit. We've shown that through games where CeeDee Lamb couldn't get the ball. You can't stop Michael Parsons unless he's injured. He's one of the best defensive players in the league, and I think Jerry Jones is trying to handle him like he handled all the rest of those contracts and doing all this stuff in the media. Yes, it's for show. As you said, FIFO, he wants to be popular and famous, but also it's outside of the grasp of what he usually does when he's talking to not just an elite player on the team, but the best player on the team. And he's not treating him like the best player on the team. And that's what Michael Parsons, who knows he's the best player on the team, is having this disconnect with him. But at the end of the day, he's going to get his money. Like, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid $42 million a year. He's going to go out there. Will he re-sign with the Cowboys after that? Who knows? But he's going to take these $42 million because there's no trade package that can be put together for Michael Parsons. Right. It just ain't it ain't in the cards for nobody that would do it.
Is Jerry losing his touch
Yes.
On building a team?
Yes, he's losing his touch. And that's just in the sense of he don't do the day-to-day stuff. That's why the team has been able to be good, like build. We've had great teams throughout the years. We had great draft picks throughout the years.
Are they good?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
What do you mean? It's a legit
Are the Cowboys question. Good? Are the Cowboys yes. good?
Yes.
You would be surprised if we win the division this year?
Yes.
You would.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's not the question you should ask, Lou. You should have asked,
would you be surprised?
Y'all the third best team.
Playoffs? Yeah,
we should ask surprised if we make the playoffs.
If y'all made the playoffs, I would not be surprised. Yeah. If y'all won a division, I'd be shocked.
So we're talking about a playoff two division winning team because one team in the division doesn't have a quarterback. The other one that y'all banking on, we don't know if he's good yet or not. So
we do know he's good. He went to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, but you would go
Y'all the third best team in that division. The Eagles are far and away the best team.
Very thin margins. These are very thin margins because the Eagles don't have a quarterback.
What are you talking about?
We're not listening.
Very thin margins. It ain't nothing to say that the Eagles
are the Super Bowl winner. Spike, yes. What did you talk about?
He know that.
Great year last year, FIFO.
And they went to the Super Bowl the year before. What is you talking about?
But you're not guaranteeing me that they're going to be a great team next
year. They're better than the Cowboys. I'm not yes, they are.
Not. They also could go 7-11. Or
no, they're not. It's impossible.
Injuries can happen.
Anything.
So you're right. Hold on.
Anything can happen, but they have the best running back. They have the most talented
roster in the NFL.
Well, let me interject here because y'all spiraling. The Cowboys have won 12 games the last three seasons. So why are we having this discussion?
Yeah, they're a good team.
You guys are talking about results.
I like they're a terrible team. Exactly.
That's all I was trying to say. Playoff results. But they've won 12 games three years in a row.
Yeah. Right. And they have one of the worst coaching staffs in the league. I would agree with all of y'all on that. But they also could win the division and still go to the playoffs. And that was speaking to my point of Jerry – or the team under Jerry can build a team, but where he's losing his touch to the question that you asked, Ken, he wants to deal with Michael Parsons. He wants to deal with Dak Prescott. He wants to deal with CeeDee Lamb, and it just doesn't work out because it's not the old days in the 90s when he was able to negotiate deals with top players. They're looking for different things now. He just don't know how to talk to them, as we've seen.
Ken, they only won 7 games this past year. They were 7-10.
My last thoughts on what they
won 12 games 3 years in a row.
Before that, starting quarterback was hurt this year.
You were losing when you actually won more when he was out.
Remember the starting quarterback was hurt the majority of the year. Stop.
Remember when he said we fucking suck?
Stop. Yeah, because
that was.
Nigga, y'all lost to us last year. Y'all suck, nigga. Shut up.
Y'all are irrelevant.
They lost bad, too. It wasn't even close.
Hey, we
here y'all was sorry.
AFL, dog.
We here too.
Y'all might as well be in college. Like, Alabama.
I'm only jumping in because this is the problem with delusional-ass Cowboys fans. I'm talking about they going to win and all this. All right, yeah, I had y'all 12 win seasons. Cool. That was 3 years in a row. You can say the same thing about the Saints a couple of years ago. You can. And you know, you talking about us being irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Like, what do you look like now? What do you look like now? All right. First of all, you don't know what the hell you get from your head coach. Your coaching staff is probably going to be trash because Jerry built this coaching staff, basically. On top of that, like, your defense is mediocre. Like, the back end of your defense is pretty much mediocre. All right. So that's going to be an issue for you. And then, you still got to go against the Eagles twice this year. You got to go against Redskins twice this year. You're playing the AFC West this year. Like, you think y'all are beating Kansas City?
Yes, we're going to be in contention because we have the roster to be in contention. I want to know who the quarterback is for the Saints.
We don't.
Who's starting quarterback for y'all? Exactly.
I can be real. Listen,
like, you talking, unlike, this is a person talking to me about my team don't even got a quarterback, God.
The difference is, as a Saints fan and many other fan bases, we can be realistic about where we're at. Cowboys fans are always delusional about what they are and what
you talking about everybody else. You ain't talking about me. I've always been realistic on this show about the Cowboys. Anybody can attest to that. Like, I've always been realistic. By saying what?
You said they don't have a chance.
Yes. You don't think they have a chance to win the NFC East? When the NFC East has had a different division.
You have no defense.
They've had a different divisional winner for the last 8 to 12 years. Somebody new wins it every year.
And that's so fine. It could be the Redskins.
It will not be the Commanders.
Jerry Jones and you don't go in the same sentence.
It will not be the Commanders. I'm telling you that now. It's going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys. The Giants going to be better than the Commanders, probably.
All right.
Now, we can end on that.
Yeah, you can.
All right. Anybody else got anything about Jerry's team building skills?
I think it's interesting. I think this is all a part of his plan, honestly. If he got Micah deal done earlier, we don't talk. I mean, there will be Cowboy talk, but it wouldn't be like to this degree where it's like literally every quote, every press conference, everything is just like hype. And granted, it is football season, so I'm excited for the league overall. But again, contract talks always go this way. Like literally anybody who's trying to get paid is damn near borderline saying, I want to. Scary Terry trying to get money right now. And he's saying, I want to get traded. Like that's outside of quarterback. Yeah. Well, not even outside of quarterback. Outside of being a white quarterback, contract talks do not go smoothly.
Nobody, yeah, in the NFL. Because you clarified it great by saying white, because Lamar wanted to trade.
Well, Lamar had to do he had to have collusion happen to get paid. What?
Facts.
He did.
All right. Well, we'll be back up next, man. We're gonna get into some positional rankings in the next quarter, but we'll get into that right after this break.
If you are a fan of hip hop and love unfiltered discussions on the culture, check out Dead in Hip Hop. From album reviews to hip hop debates, Dead in Hip Hop always keeps it real. Go to youtube.com/Dead in Hip Hop and search for Dead in Hip Hop or DEHH to subscribe now. Dead in Hip Hop, no politics, no BS.
Welcome back. First of all, shout out to Doc for the title for the Micah segment. but we are now going to talk about our top five tight end in the NFL. Tight ends in the NFL, the tight end position in the NFL. So with the 2025-26 NFL season on the horizon, we are doing our annual NFL position rankings list. We will go over every major position, rank the players that stand out the most to us, and discuss why we selected those individuals. Each position outside of QBs will be ranked 1 through 5. QBs will be ranked 1 through 10. We are starting off this year with the top 5 tight ends currently in the NFL. Who is in your top 5 list of tight ends currently in the NFL? Who wants to go first? Oh, there we go. Who is that?
Somebody list up though.
That's FIFO.
No,
it's not. Who list is that?
Oh, this is our number 5. These are all of our number 5.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's fire. Right. That's dope, Joe.
Yeah. Okay. That's nice. All right. So let's see what we got here. So,
Isaiah likely came.
I almost thought about putting him on the list just because, like, you know, sometimes lists are about projections too. It's not about current. And I've always wondered why they don't involve him more in the passing game.
How long is he out for? He was hurt.
Oh, he didn't have that injury.
He was hurt last year. Yeah.
Oh, he got hurt this year.
I thought he was back. I didn't know he was hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt in camp. But I didn't see how long he was out for.
I didn't think it was that bad when I
was looking it up. It was reported. It was reported somewhat like it was going to be serious. But
yeah, he got surgery.
I find it interesting that more of y'all don't have Kelce at 5 and have him higher, I'm assuming.
You're going to be surprised by a lot of our list.
Based off what he looked like last year, I don't think that he, like, on the incline. I think he, like, just at top 5. That's why I got him at 5.
I think people more so have him at top 5 just because he got Mahomes thrown to him. I think he just graded him off.
Oh, you don't have him? Do you not have him on your list?
We got to get through the list, Lou. You know what I mean? You can't get spoiled.
I mean, if he ain't on there, then
we'll find out. Right, he may be. Nigga, I'm just saying, like, shit, give us some. Right.
So two of y'all have Kelce on. Okay, so now we're talking about top 4. Let's go to 4. All right.
Gesicki? Why did you put Gesicki?
Brian had 3 touchdowns.
I just think he's important to that offense. I think he made some big plays for Burrow last year. And I think Gesicki's going to have a really good year. I project him to have a good year.
I do. He's going to be splitting reps with Noah Fant. Like Noah Fant in training camp has he been getting a rock a lot from what's his name from?
But that's because he's getting used to him. Don't sleep on Gesicki. I've seen him have some really, really, really good games. And I think this year he's going to be a primary target for Burrow because you're going to see teams try to take out Chase. They're not going to be able to do it, but it's still going to eliminate him. And I look at Higgins as a person who'll be hurt and injured a couple games. So Gesicki was very he was very consistent last year. And I think he's a starter.
Yeah, Gesicki right now Gesicki is a starter, and he got more rhythm with Burrow because he played on last season. But I do like the Noah Fant addition. It just makes the you can do two tight end sets. You know what I'm saying? And like both and Noah Fant is more of a pass catching tight end than blocking tight end. Even though you would think with the way you know physically he should be a better blocking tight end, but I'm not mad at the Gesicki. I'm just surprised because he was really under the radar unless you had him in fantasy.
Right, right. But I seen him, like I said, a couple games I seen him, and I seen some of the plays he made. I was like, I see it. The synergy they had was big.
Lou, that's you with likely at four?
Yeah, I think likely to have a big year. I know about the injury. They said 4 to 6 weeks in the
six
chat.
6 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. 4 to 6 weeks.
So he'll be back by week three of the regular NFL season?
Yeah, I like what I seen from him late in the season. And I like what I've seen in the playoffs. I think that he will be more involved in the offense this year. And we're going to see a big year from him. And he will overtake, what's my guy name? 89.
Mark Andrews.
Andrews.
Hey, I think he'll overtake Andrews if he had the ball.
Mark Andrews. I don't see that. I feel you.
He'll overtake him, FIFA.
But
who dropped the ball and cost him a game?
I understand.
Mark Andrews.
But he's still going to be arguably the number one targeted receiver on that roster.
No, people, I think that likely is, and I agree with y'all. I would have had likely on my list had he not. I thought he was out longer even than 6 weeks, but that's why I didn't include him. But I think he's going to have a breakout season if he had played this whole year. He was explosive last year, and you could tell Lamar liked
looks
him.
For him.
He liked him.
I like likely, but I think he's more of a situational tight end. And at the end of the day, he's often injured. Like that's really what has held him back is his availability. I'm not chastising him for his ability because I do think that he is more athletic than Mark Andrews. I think he does create more matchup problems than Mark Andrews, but Mark Andrews is more consistent. And again, he's always been the top target for Lamar Jackson. I don't see that changing. Why would it change?
Because he's getting old and he's dropping football passes in the playoffs, costing them losses.
Yeah, that fumble was discussed. Not even a 2-point conversion. It was the fumble.
Now the 2-point conversion was it, bro? Like, what are you talking about?
I get that, but the fumble
that's the difference between a dub or L.
But they were driving that series, and that fumble cost.
Hey, let's not relitigate that because I know we get.
Did you do your list?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's up there, bro. Look at the screen. Like,
I didn't even see it.
So, people, you had LaPorta at four, and we have LaPorta here a bit higher. And then there's Jason Kittle, and then Trey McBride.
George Kittle.
Who I say?
Jason Kittle.
Same thing.
Right, same thing.
So, Shelton, Trey McBride.
Absolutely. Y'all better watch out for Trey McBride. Trey McBride was one of the top tight ends in the league last year. And I know he's under the radar. He's under the radar because he's with the Cardinals. But watch out for Trey McBride.
Yeah, he was getting yards.
He was balling.
If you had him on fantasy. He
touchdowns, though. If you need him, a tight end to catch touchdowns. Yeah, he don't think Julio will.
He was on my five. I was just surprised he was that high.
He had 111 catches, which I didn't even realize he had that many.
He had two touchdowns, nigga.
That was awful, Lou. That's why he said Julio. I get it. But 111 receptions was huge, and I project him once again. It's projections. So based off the fact that he was able to find him that much, and you knew where the ball was going, and you still couldn't stop him except in the red zone. I think he'll pick up that and get you at least five this year, Lou.
Nick, Spike, LaPorta.
Hey, he a dog. I know Detroit's getting a lot of shine. I know B pretend like he don't watch the games, but I know he know what I'm talking about. With
he watch.
Yeah, he watching. He watching preseason tomorrow. Whatever they play. But Now, Laporta's a dog. Now, it'll be interesting to see how he plays outside of Ben Johnson's system. But they in that system, they know how to create space for him. He knows what he does. He's a little bit more athletic than what people think. He's stronger than what you think as well. He a dog. Red zone target, too. Yeah. Great red zone target.
Agree with what Nick said. He a dog. Sneaky. Always open. We seen him in the playoff runs like that they had with Detroit last year. It seemed like he was always the one making the plays. Jared Goff is going to have to go to tight ends just because I just don't think he's that talented enough to go to his wide receivers throughout the season. So Laporta is going to be somebody he depends on, and that's why I expect him to have a big season because he's going to carry this offense.
Go ahead, FIFA.
No, I was going to say, because
you had him at four.
Yeah, I had him at four. I think Laporta is definitely one of the best tight ends in the league. I do think the subtraction of Ben Johnson is going to hurt that offense greatly because of the creativity that they had. But to say that Jared Goff can't hit his wide receivers, I don't like that statement at all. I think Jared Goff has proven that he is more than a serviceable quarterback. I'm not saying he's a championship winning quarterback, but he's definitely better than a serviceable quarterback. He's
a serviceable quarterback.
I think the person that's going to be hurt the most with Ben Johnson not being there is going to be Jameson Williams, the deep threat. But I think Amon-Ra is going to be all right. I think Laporta is going to be all right. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be all right.
My hot take is that I don't think the Detroit Lions offense misses a beat.
Wow.
Okay.
You wildin'.
I think it misses a beat. I think that my hot take is that I think that both teams are going to suffer that had all teams that were involved in the departures and hires of the Lions talent and the departure of their talent, everyone's going to be affected negatively. I don't think the Jets are going to show much improvement. I think people are going to be disappointed there. I don't think that the Lions are going to improve. I think they're actually going to drop about two or three games that they shouldn't last year. And then I think that the Bears are going to surprise some people. Everyone thinks that they're going to have this offensive renaissance. I think that they're going to have some issues there as well. We'll get to that. But Laporta, to me, is a talented tight end. The reason why I give Kittle the nod at three is because blocking matters to me a lot at tight end. It's a lost art. They don't really, with the advent of the Antonio Gateses and that archetype becoming like huge with the Tony Gonzalez archetype and the Travis Kelce archetype, they want their tight ends to be just very much so a security blanket for the quarterback, to almost be a fourth wide receiver, and in some cases to be a second wide receiver if you're counting just how often guys get targets altogether. Some tight ends get more than the second wide receiver does in certain teams. But I think that Kittle and his blocking and also just big playability, even as he's getting older, not saying he's long in the tooth, but he's getting older, that big playability along with blocking allows for McCaffrey to do what he does. And that's the additive that I think puts him in the top three.
Let's move on to our number two spot. Well, more Kittles. Ooh. A lot of Kittle respect there. Okay. And Trey McBride makes a spot for me.
That's too high.
Number two, Ken?
Yeah, that's too high.
Oh, my bad. It was indicative of how many touchdowns he had.
Two is great.
He's a guy, man. I didn't penalize him for the touchdowns.
Shit, FIFO Kelce at two was high too.
Yeah, honestly. I don't think so.
Crazy as
well. Oh, bro.
Yeah, you see him last year. He'll be better than he was last year.
He was in the Super
maybe.
Bowl.
That don't mean
maybe it does when he was all he had.
He has the best quarterback in the ever to play the game.
Right, and he's
that's why he was in the Super Bowl. It wasn't because of him.
When you think about the GOATs at quarterback, they usually have a tight end that helps them to get there.
Don't do that.
You have to.
You're creating a narrative that wasn't true. We watched those Chiefs games. He wasn't really doing shit all season long. Ever. It was the defense. Like, and
he slept all season.
He regressed. He regressed. But
that's what I'm saying. Like,
having him at two is crazy to think that he's going to be better next year. And he's only getting older.
And that's what I'm asking you, Sheldon. Like, just going off of last year alone, who had a better season between Kittle and Kelce?
Kelce to me. We see where he ended up.
All right. Well,
I agree. Look, I think this. I think that at the end of the day,
we saw. But I'm just gonna shake your head.
At the end of the day, we saw the young wide receivers in Kansas City kind of take a step forward as the season progressed. Right, I understand that there's injuries and off the field issues and all of that type of stuff, but they did get better as the season progressed. Kelce is going to get even more open looks. He's gonna man the middle of the field. He's still gonna demand attention.
Based on that phone.
Did you not just hear what I said? That the wide receivers got better. I heard therefore,
you, but I don't know what receivers you're talking about. Like, what receivers you talking about?
Who did they just drive? They were the receivers, FIFO.
Yeah, like tell me who you're talking about.
You know how
Hollywood
names,
Brown.
Bro.
Hollywood Brown.
No. Who's the rookie that they
Hollywood
got?
Hollywood Brown. Going to make Travis
Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy. If you look at Xavier Worthy, the second half of that season, he stepped the hell up.
It's going to play out. This going to play out the same way it played out the last two seasons. Y'all going to tell me the Chiefs suck, and they're not going to make the playoffs, and they end up making
that? We said that in 2020, bro. We said that in 2020.
Y'all said that
back in 2020. We didn't say that last year.
Standing with him, he's gonna stay.
This is 2025, 2026, bro. We're not talking about last year, bro. We talking about right now.
Same thing gonna happen again, and Travis Kelce ain't gonna have shit to do with it.
Travis Kelce is still going to be somebody that you have the game plan for, bro.
My thing is, Shelton, you keep on talking about he got him to the Super Bowl. They got to the Super Bowl. What are you doing that Super Bowl?
Oh, I ain't say he got him to the Super Bowl now.
What I'm saying, but either way, what are you doing that Super Bowl? What was the stats? You want to read them? and Shelton, I'll hit you with one other question. Yeah, Xavier Worthy looked good, all right. He looked good in that second half. that fourth quarter, what? Hey,
he was good.
He was good. Yeah, when it was 110-6. Yeah, Xavier Worthy can't run routes.
The case for Travis Kelce, too, I can justify because if I was putting him at two, this is not my argument, but I understand the case that he allows for the offense to do what it does. He's the ultimate distraction. He's the ultimate security blanket. And while it may not still show up in the stat sheet, it may not show up Sunday to Sunday in terms of statistics, the intangible impact that he has, the stuff that you just can't account for in allowing Pacheco or allowing Worthy to make the plays, whether they're few or far in between, Nick, he allows them to make those plays. And nobody other wide receivers can count on his impact and his gravity. Similar to like a Curry, where it's like even if Curry's having an off game, just running him off of pick and rolls, you know what I'm saying? It allows for other guys to get hot, hopefully, and allows for Mahomes to pick apart a defense and get it down to the wire. So I can understand if you're going off of a pedigree and a legacy pick at number two, but I think that there's guys that have more hard numbers that you could put in the number two spot, but I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, and Q to what you said, like that sounds good. How did that play in the Super Bowl? where was Curry in the championship game?
I mean, for sure, but
Q, what you're saying is like 2 years ago. It's not to date. Like going into this season, that same consideration that you're giving him as far as how defenses respond to him and type of game plans that they have. Yeah, you may have to game plan for Kelce, but you ain't game planning for him like the other three to four tight ends that you have on this list. I get what you're saying, and that was true years ago. It ain't true this year, though.
Because Laporta's my pick, so I'm not arguing against my pick, but I don't want to get to the point where we're now like, don't bark up that tree. That tree will fall on you when it comes to Kelce, where it's like, all it take is that one play in the playoff game that you say, oh, he's washed, and now he's streaking 30 yards down the field for an open, wide open touchdown because whether they schemed it open or he got open on a 3rd and 6, those are the plays that kill you, death by 1,000 cuts, that pedigree demands at least a top three consideration.
Is somebody chopping that tree, Q? Dogs barking trees and I ain't seen them fall before.
As an Eagles fan, like, of course, like, yeah, we demolished them, but I'm not gonna sit up here and act like I didn't have major anxiety about, man, do we have the talent to match up with Kelce? Can like DeJean match up with Kelce as a rookie? He still deserved that look, and I'm sure that Vic Fangio still wanted to neutralize him, and we just did. We had the talent to do so. But we can't sit up here and act like, oh, getting to the Super Bowl is like nothing now. It does mean a lot.
Before that Super Bowl,
we need to move on to number one.
Before that Super Bowl, I was like, yeah, I do believe in Patrick Mahomes. But then Shelton, I came like my come to Jesus moment was right at the 11th hour. I was like, these names don't add up.
Yeah.
Oh, they said, and the chat said we were asleep. The chat said we were asleep on this too.
I was asleep. I'm sorry. I'm wrong.
I thought this was going to be unanimous.
Yeah. It should be. I completely forgot about Brock. Because
you judge things goofily. He was the last two tight ends in the league.
I don't bag off of Hill, but I completely forgot about
how'd you do that?
Yeah, he's the best one.
I was
how'd you do that?
I was at work literally, and I wasn't paying attention.
So you accidentally, when you sent Jalen the list. You accidentally put Kelce at one.
Jalen can attest. I sent him that one late, and I was working.
Oh, so you sent him two lists?
No, I just left tight ends off. He'll tell you.
So how did you get Kelce at one? That's what we're trying to figure out.
Because I felt like he was gonna have a bounce back year, and now
have him at one. It wasn't
No, it wasn't. I completely left Brock Bowers off my list. That's what I'm saying.
Crazy. The fact that. Because I left Kelce, I left Kelce off my list, and to me, it's like, bro, he was a top eight tight end, but he wasn't top five.
He led that team in receiving, and I know he had a bad year. I just think that was a Taylor Swift year. I think he's gonna bounce back.
Bro, fuck all that shit. Brock Bowers, people, how many quarterbacks were throwing?
I'm wrong. I'm saying I'm wrong. I would have put Brock Bowers one.
My homeboy Desmond Ritter, who's now with the Bengals. Shout out to Desmond Ritter. He was throwing it to Brock Bowers. They had Gardner Minshew. They had Q.
He was still the best back there.
You talking about somebody
got him.
Game planning. Everybody knew it was going to him.
Yeah, I forgot.
It actually speaks to how good he is that you forgot him.
As a rookie. Yeah,
who the fuck knows what's going on in Vegas?
What happens if Vegas stays in Vegas, I guess. But when it comes to Brock Bowers, I look at him like the stature, the bodily stature of like a Gronk. But to me, he has the IQ that Gronk didn't have in his first couple years so far. Yeah. Like to me, Gronk is like Gronk was saying that he was still trying to figure out the playbook the first 2-3 years. Like he was, of course, like after the first couple years, he became a genius and he's pairing his ability with his stature, with the IQ, he put it all together. But Brock Bowers is ahead in terms of that schedule. Mm-hmm. So to me, just the composition, the IQ, the catch radius, the attention to detail from all of what everyone says, it shows in how he plays the game and his aggression and just his, like the rage he plays with. It's like it's a very controlled rage. And I really appreciate watching it because it reminds me of a Gronkowski. And I didn't think that we were going to see that archetype be replicated in the league, but they're here.
Q, I'm going to tell you like this, like, I don't disagree with anything that you said, but I just want to add on top that all of that Gronk did was amazing, but Gronk wasn't really cooking like beating DBs one-on-one, right? Like he would box him out. He would use his physicality again, but he wasn't beating Brock Bowers beats DBs, bro. I'm going to outroute you. You can't guard me. I have the speed. I have the power. I have finesse. He is, if we had George Kittle and a prime Travis Kelce mixed into one and sprinkle Gronk all over that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what Brock Bowers is. And he is by far, it's not even close, the best tight end in the league. And to your point, Nick, who the hell was throwing him the rock? Like, who was throwing him the rock? And he was still dominant like that, right? Like, when you have a pass catcher that doesn't have a stable quarterback, right? You don't even need an elite quarterback. But if you don't have a stable quarterback and you're putting up numbers, you're elite, my guy. I don't give a damn what the hell. I don't care if you win two games in as a squad.
In the AFC West, too.
West.
Against Denver, against the Chargers, against Kansas City. These ain't defenses you could just throw on, especially with bombs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. To me, this is a fantasy update, nigga. I just found out I got the third overall pick, Lou. I don't know what I'm about to do.
So there's our complete list. starting with five at the bottom all the way to number one at the top. So there you guys have it. Our top five tight ends heading into the 2025 NFL season. Up next.
Hold on, Shelton. So if you agree that Brock Bowers is number one, who's coming off that list?
I'm pushing it all the way down. Just pushing it down.
Also, oh, Goddard. So
I knew. Hey, he repeated it too. Slowly. Oh, man.
So that was a fandom. I know that was a fandom picking Goddard. Huh?
I don't even know if that's a part.
No, it was not.
It's not, but it's just stupid, bro.
I was gonna say it if he did. Could have been on some DMX and Belly shit, but you don't know.
I'm pushing it all the way down. It's crazy, kid. Come on, Jesus Christ.
We don't know.
So God,
it wasn't gendered. Like it wasn't.
Super pause. So listen,
part of it off your list.
Yeah, God.
That's the thing we should have cussed his ass about. He the only goofy nigga that got Goddard.
Man, Goddard had more yards than what everybody in the playoffs.
The only thing is Goddard, man, you already know Goddard just can't stay healthy when
that's it. Goddard, man. That's it. Q, that was more of a play, but like I said, in the playoffs, he
was going fucking nuts. He was going nuts. He killed Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of.
How did you not have Laporta? I'm sorry, guys, but how did you not have Laporta?
I honestly thought I did. It was sleep when I sent. I sent the list, bro. I sent that shit at like one.
Y'all
something.
Out here with this glaucoma list, like what? Like what?
Yeah. I was like, something in the morning, bro. When I was like, oh shit, I need to send my list.
Well, he got McBride twice, so
we need a deadline.
Doc, so yeah, he
who got McBride twice?
Doc, we need a deadline.
So you don't even got five.
Nah, we do have a deadline.
No,
we do.
Who's your fifth, Ken? Do you know?
Doc, don't accept no list.
No, I actually put Trey McBride. I don't know how I put Trey McBride on here twice.
Twice, yeah. So who
was supposed to be for Laporta?
Well, we know you like Trey McBride.
So you have Laporta at number two then?
It must have been Laporta at two.
Oh wow, that's too high.
No more lists.
It makes more sense than McBride at two.
Yeah,
I get that, but that's still too high.
Probably, but
that makes sense though. Probably. Versus McBride.
Anyway, let's see if that's gonna do it for our top. Tight ends of the heading into the NFL season, man, coming back, we'll have our top five safeties right after this quick break.
If you're looking for real conversations and motivations to be your best, then you have to check out Another Week in the Books. Another Week in the Books with Spike Lee and Rich is your go-to podcast for growth and community. Plenty of dope conversations take place week to week as they inspire each other to be better through conversations. Another Week in the Books, wherever you get your podcast.
All right. We are back with our safety talk here real quick. So let's get into it. Let's start with number five. Derwin James on there twice. So I had Derwin James. Spike had Winfield, Nick, Joseph, James again with FIFO, Baker, Shelton, and Joseph again with Q.
Shelton you must be watching hella Arizona football, bro. You're the only nigga that got you got NFL red zone just for them.
Yeah, Buda Baker's the only thing they got on defense. He's a tackling machine.
No, you got like a timeshare in Phoenix or some shit.
I wouldn't put Buda Baker on my list, but I mean, I don't hate him.
He's actually on my list, so I believe so. But yeah,
I can't say nothing. Yeah, I was gonna say I can't say nothing either.
Is everybody cool with that?
It's not bad. Yeah,
I'll say shout out to.
I'm surprised James made the list.
Yeah,
really? You know, Nick ain't got him on there.
Hell.
At this stage of his career, I think we've seen his heyday.
He had a pretty good year last year.
Exactly. That's what I'm about to say. He's still one of the best safeties in the league.
That's Harbaugh. That's not him.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Okay. He still had a good year.
I'm just and y'all know this was hard. Ken, you talking about you stayed up at this took me damn near to a long time for me to even think about five, six things that I know.
This was the hardest one.
I ain't gonna lie, Nick. You're not wrong.
This is the most again, I can't irrelevant ass position in the league.
This was the hardest one.
All right, let's jump to number four. We have Xavier McKinney.
Damn, that's great.
At four, Fitzpatrick is Spike.
He got traded.
Nick got McKinney as well, and Fitzpatrick twice again for Shelton and FIFO, and Q with Brian Branch.
You got two Lion safeties in your top five.
I mean, I feel like they're the best safety tandem in the league.
They are.
They are though. They are.
I didn't want to put them twice on my list because I wanted to give more shine to others, but I wouldn't. I'm not mad that you had both of them on.
Y'all lucky I ain't put Cooper DeJean in that motherfucker.
I'm totally expecting that from Shelton.
Mm. Y'all think Fitzpatrick still got it?
Yeah.
He's still balling.
Ask Pittsburgh, kid.
We will see, kid.
I think he still got it.
They gave him away. So.
Yeah.
But he had a good season last season. It didn't show no decline last season.
They gave him away because of probably contract more than anything. And I feel like Fitzpatrick, he still kept the lid on the defense. Like, they didn't give up crazy, crazy long, you know what I'm saying, touchdowns last year. And that was, like, one of the things that plagued them before they found him in that trade the first time around. So he should still be a top six to seven guy. So if you put him fringe, top four, top six, like, I'm not mad at that. Yeah.
And he make big plays. Like he makes big plays.
A lot of fans at Steelers will say that he didn't make enough the last two seasons, but I think that's because of the coverage they were asking him to play deep. Agreed. Like, they were asking him to keep the lid on defense.
Protect everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't play up at the line when you got Herbig, Watt, all these guys that are on the line. Let them get home. Like, you know.
Right. Yeah, and also their cornerback play hasn't been the greatest. So, like you said, you're asking them to play like the lid. So that means that nobody can't get behind you. You're not asking him to go and attack the football. It's, hey, if they catch it, make sure they don't score. So that's a whole different type of mindset that you got to have. But we know Minka, when you put him in a good situation and you allow him to be aggressive, he's still one of the top safeties in the league.
He's a dog for sure.
Number three, what we got? All right, so Q has Buda Baker. Jesse Bates makes the list for Shelton Afifo. Nick has Winfield. And Spike has Buda Baker. And I'm up there with Brian Branch.
You're right. I did watch a lot of Red Zone, and that's why I seen Buda Baker signing. Like, he does his thing in the sense of really not talked about enough because, I mean, it's the Cardinals. Who cares? But he makes every Sunday he make plays. And that's what
he had his best year. He had his best year in his eighth year. So I feel like you got to give respect to that at top three. If Kyler could hold up his end of the deal, maybe his shit would actually be more impactful in defense. But
right. They should put some Oculus glasses on him and have him think it's a game. All right.
work for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Number two, Jesse Bates. Makes my list along with Spike. Kyle Hamilton is second for Nick. We have Brian Branch for FIFO and Xavier McKinney for Shelton and Q.
Hamilton going to be a sweepy one, except for Nick. I don't know what you was thinking.
I don't know what he
was. You already know. Nick is picking Jesse Bates because he's a homer.
He is. That's it. I mean, if Cousins, y'all know how Cousins held the Atlanta Falcons back. Because Jesse was cooking on defense. Shout out to McKinney. The Giants did him dirty, but he was a gem. I don't know why they let it happen.
Y'all still blaming Kirk for the Falcons? Okay.
Yeah. Well, look, so here's the thing, Nick. Jesse Bates was definitely balling. But for me, I had to put Brian Branch over Jesse Bates because Brian will play corner. You know what I'm saying? Like he's literally, he reminds me the way that they use him on defense is a lot like Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, he's listed at safety, but you put him in the box as a linebacker. You put him out there at corner. You put him in the slot. You put him over the top. Like he's literally a chess piece out there. So for me, Jesse Bates definitely top three, but I think Brian Branch had a better season. I think he'll still continue to grow in that way.
A similar thing to me, this Ravens secondary isn't the same without Hamilton. And that says a lot to me about that team. And on top of that, like I like you, like what you mentioned with Branch, Hamilton's versatile. He can play nickel. He can play, you know, all the way back. So like, and he's a hitter too. He's not afraid of contact.
Mm-hmm. Big boy, 6'3", 220 something.
Out of Notre Dame, I believe too. And I wanted the Bengals to get him that, but so many draft picks that the Ravens got that I wish the Bengals got. But we're gonna see why I picked number one, because when we're talking about the best and not just the best at being versatile, we got to talk about, you know, say JB3. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's like,
there it is.
He's the difference maker on that Atlanta defense. He's the leader. He's a captain. He has champion, deep playoff experience. he played in a championship game, though.
What difference did he make?
He had a pick in the in the Super Bowl. But
how long ago was that, Nick?
Hey, this is the craziest pick. I'll go ahead and predict this. This is the craziest pick from all the rankings.
He's talking about the college championship?
There's no way this should have been sweet. There's no way this should have been sweet.
Kyle Hamilton is a great player, but he ain't the best.
Yes, he is the best.
I think Kyle Hamilton is clearly the best just from, like you said, everything with the versatility. I don't think – yes, okay, Bates has some versatility to him as well. But the physicality and the stature that he has in that versatility package is different, bro. It's like the size difference makes that versatility more impactful.
Potato, potato, Q.
No. See, here's the thing. Let's go back to our other list. If you have Brock Bowers in the open field and you have Jesse Bates as the last line of defense versus Kyle Hamilton, 10 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10, 10 reps.
I'm going with Jesse on that, because can I ask the question before you even people, what you doing? Put your hands down. My thing is this.
Bates might win five, but Hamilton's winning six.
In real life situations, we saw Kyle Hamilton going against Travis Kelce. What happened?
I thought you said he was out.
He got cooked. I can show you it was a highlight. They only scored about 17 points, kid. One of them was he got cooked by Travis Kelce. Fuck all that shit, nigga. I'm picking Jesse Bates. He ain't get cooked by Travis Kelce.
That's crazy. This man picked one play, one game. Okay. But there it is, man. This time I don't have two people on there twice. So there's our full list, 1 through 5.
So I didn't have Minka on my list, though, because, nigga, if you get traded you after your best season, that means you ain't shit.
Yeah, I didn't have him on my list either, Nick.
Ramsey not going to be on your list?
It was no something.
And they gave him back. They gave him back to the same people that gave him up.
Yeah.
Like, you can have him back. It's like they bought it from Amazon and decided to return it.
Oh, bro. Mickey ain't sorry. He going to Pittsburgh and Miami. Shit. He said, if I'm going to lose, I might as well lose in the sun.
Might as well be in Miami.
But I'm going to win off the field.
Boy.
But, okay. Well, that's it, man. We're just getting started, man. Those are our top five tight ends and safeties. We just went over our top five safeties in the NFL. And we'll be back right after this with We Need to Talk. And then we'll talk about the Hall of Fame game as well. So we'll be back right after this quick break.
If you're looking for real conversations and motivations to be your best, then you have to check out Another Week in the Books. Another Week in the Books with Spike Lee and Rich is your go-to podcast for growth and community. Plenty of dope conversations take place week to week as they inspire each other to be better through conversations. Another Week in the Books, wherever you get your podcast.
All right, man. We need to talk, man. You know, it's not a lot going on, but the one thing that we keep seeing over and over again, because they keep force feeding us, is lean Luka Doncic. Luzempic is what I like to call it. you know, this is an interesting thing. It's good that the man, I guess, got healthy and lost that weight, and we'll see what happens. People think he's gonna come out and do something incredible. You know, Shelton was talking about his defense is still gonna be the same, this, that, and another. But I think the thing about it for me that I think is interesting is not necessarily Luka, but it's just the fact that when you have other athletes around here that does similar thing, they don't get praised for it. They don't get applauded for it, you know, and this is just a societal thing that a white man who was allowed to be out of shape and out of condition and got a black man that shipped him off, cussed out by the whole damn city, including some people on this panel because he took him to the finals, but because he was out of shape and not in condition, he ended up losing the final because they kept attacking. So this man go to the Lakers, gets in shape, and now it's this big celebration. Like, and then he turns around and signed an extension. Like, what in the world is going on? That shows the Lakers have a lot of money. I don't know what type of dealings that Rob Pelinka did to get this shit to work out or whatever, but I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Luka moving forward now that he is definitely a Laker. He signed this deal. And we'll see if it yields the results. Because my thing is, last week we were talking about LeBron leaving if the Lakers don't win a title. But we got Lean Luka. Why isn't this team good enough to win a title if he's one of the best players in the league? Now that he's gotten in shape, I think we need to be looking at him. And when you start holding Luka to standards that we hold a lot of other players to moving forward, I know Nick has been as well, but I expect the rest of us, now they were going to put him on this pedestal, they need to hold him to the same standards as every other great. So you done been to the finals? Hey, man, stack them chips, bro. Stack them rings. That's all I'm saying.
What's crazy is that, and I know Q has thoughts on this too, but it's crazy is that Luka gets more love like he has the career like Jason Tatum. It's again. I've now become a defender of Jason Tatum. Shelton, my law offices just opened up, you know, last week.
I mean, he's better than Jason Tatum, though.
Is he?
Why? He's done more with a lot less.
I think he's a lot
better.
He's better.
Yeah,
Jason Tatum. I think
he's
a lot better. Anybody
he's been to the finals. He's cooked two all defensive NBA players in one series. I remember Ken was talking hella shit about Luka, but he cooked Kawhi and PG. They were both all defense first team that year. Like, what do you mean?
Can I ask you a question?
We've never seen Jason Tatum do what Luka has done.
Can I ask you a question?
Luka do what Tatum has done.
Yeah, that's true as well. And also, Tatum, didn't he have that game 7 against Miami to get them to the finals?
Oh, Tatum.
He went crazy. And then also, we talk about Luka like he has a title. He does not.
Okay.
Like, Jason Tatum has been winning since he got in the league. Has he not, Sheldon?
That's a byproduct of situation.
What player has Jason Tatum played with that's better than LeBron?
Has a collection of players that
I'm just saying. What player? I ain't saying collection.
Okay, that's fine. Luka has LeBron, but Jason Tatum has had Jaylen Brown his whole career. He had a prime Kyrie. He had a prime Gordon Hayward, but we know how he got hurt.
Luka had Kyrie too. That's how they went to the finals.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Kyrie.
Hold on. Let's pause all this. Nick, are you saying that Luka has had as great of team as Jason Tatum has had his career?
It's ridiculous.
He went to the finals, didn't he?
No. Question. Hey, stop deflecting, my guy. I ask you a direct question.
What's that?
Has Luka ever had as good of a team that Jason Tatum ever did?
As a collective, as a team, no.
All right.
But he's had teams,
let me ask you this. When you win the finals, is that an individual accomplishment or is that a team accomplishment?
Well, then if that's the case, why do we give the individual praise to Luka when it was – why don't we talk about Kyrie in the same way?
We do.
I gave Kyrie hella props.
We do. We said – oh, my God. See, this is the type of shit that makes it hard for Tatum in people's eyes because – you're forcing me to shit on this man, and I don't want to shit on him because this is not indicative of his talent. He's a great player. If you say he's top five, I'm not going to argue. But, bruh, he is like a guy that won the lottery in terms of the amount of talent he's had around him. He's he's the NBA trust fund baby. Like, you can't tell how? Because I've said for multiple times, you go into a situation where you're the third guy. Luka went into a situation where he was the guy from jump. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Kyrie Irving were both signed to be the next iteration of the Boston Celtics. The Celtics just had an amazing enough management job from Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge to collect draft picks and ping pong balls that allowed them to build for the future while also building for the present. So it was actually not even supposed to be Tatum's team. So already on its face, the argument and the expectations are totally different. And then we just look at the cast around him of just the plethora of players. I can start naming nobodies that people would think, but in the grand scheme, if you watch those teams, guys like Aaron Baines, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, Isaiah Thomas, all these different players who are around him. You can go Al Horford, Daniel Tice, guys that were in the runnings for getting big contracts after their contract was up, and guys that went on to get big deals because they were playing great for Boston. Versus a guy who came in, his second guy was Dennis Smith Jr. And then the league had to take him seriously because they realized, okay, he's serious. This guy's game is crazy. So Tatum has had a red carpet rolled out for him to become the guy. Luka from jump, bro. He's been the guy. Bro, and he's proved it.
Let me ask you this, Cube. I know, Ken, we're going to get to the main topic again. But my thing is this. What you're saying and describing is like, do you believe Magic Johnson – or do you believe Larry Bird is better than Magic Johnson?
Do I believe it? No, I don't.
Yeah. Because you're making an excuse for Luka. Well, I guess you're shitting on Tatum's career to prop up Luka the same way someone could argue Magic Johnson getting drafted – to where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is, was a bigger leap in his career than Larry Bird going to the Celtics, meaning that Larry Bird had a harder – his championship should mean more than Magic Johnson because he
are
didn't have the sky.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just saying that's what it sounds like. Am I sounding crazy?
Boston's team was way more stacked than the Laker team. What are you talking about?
Just historically, the Boston Celtics have always had like that pedigree. And coming off of the Russell years – into the late 70s and all that, the carpet was rolled out for Bird to have a good career when you take into account McHale, Parrish, all those guys that were there. It was actually pretty equal if you want to be like fair. Kareem and James Worthy versus the Boston, those were real wars. It's not like it was Larry Bird and a bunch of guys versus the stacked LA.
But it's not like that with Luka either. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't act like y'all be acting like Kyrie and LeBron are just a bunch of guys.
But it kind of is though, because number one, a lot of guys are not going to take year 22 LeBron over Jaylen Brown. A lot of guys aren't. Some guys are, right. but a lot of people it'll be way more diverse than you think. When it comes to the overall topic, though, of should we applaud a fish for swimming? No, we shouldn't applaud Luka for getting in shape finally. But this is the LA machine working in his favor. This is what he ultimately probably wanted. This is probably why he wants to sign, because he's never going to get as much attention as he is in these next, I think you say, 7-8 year window here of him being the guy in his prime. And that is ultimately all that matters, is seeing if he's going to stick to it. And as much as I would love to play the race angle here, Ken, we did give James Harden as a league and as a front office, the Rockets did give him the whole castle and the keys to be fat as fuck going to Turkey Leg Hut and then demanding a trade, then put on a fat suit, no one blackballed him and all that stuff. So we do have the ability, when you have the premium talent, to put your you know what on the table here. So
right.
Luka is exercising ultimately just premium talent privilege here, in my personal opinion.
Nick, he said he just fasted, bro. Intermittent fasted. That was a secret. But that's we'll see, good. Man. My thing is, we got to hold to the standards now. He done did the one thing that people criticized him for, but nobody wanted to acknowledge that the criticisms were real. Like, they just want to act like it didn't even, that people were just making shit up.
I would say Brian Windhorst, again, when a fat motherfucker call you out for being fat.
That's crazy.
That was nuts. Like, that was nuts to me. I ain't never seen that like that.
And they didn't like that shit either, but
they did not.
It is what it is. Moving on, man, as we come towards the end of the show, let's talk about some preseason football. The NFL preseason started last Thursday with the Hall of Fame game where the Los Angeles Chargers took on the Detroit Lions. What stood out to you most in this matchup? Which team between the Lions and Chargers, after having a successful season last year, is more likely to improve going into this season?
For me, what stood out was the play of Trey Lance. I know it's a preseason game. We can't put too much stock in this, but it appeared to be that those guys were prepared to play. So shout out to the coaches with the Chargers. They came out ready to play. And, of course, they were playing. None of the starters played for Detroit. So we can't really say too much negative about them, except for they didn't look prepared. And you think that they would have had enough time to prepare a better offense in a better structure than they had. But yeah, both those backup quarterbacks, Hendon Hooker, who I got big plans for as far as his future, I thought he was going to be great. He looked really, really shaky, and so did Kyle Allen. So their backup situation, I don't know what it's going to look like for Detroit if something happens to Jared Goff. But I was pleased to watch Trey Lance, and he led him on some nice drives. He looked like he belonged, and I was proud to see that for him.
Yeah, so you're saying that Dallas cut their franchise is what you're saying?
It seemed like it.
Yeah,
it seemed like
tragic for them boys.
Yeah, boy.
Now I'll say the same thing. I think the Trey Lance sighting was really great to see that he's actually a football player within Harbaugh's system. That's why, like, y'all had Derwin James goofy ass on y'all list. I'm like, bro, he wasn't coached by anywhere else.
We can have a Harbaugh Glaze session real quick.
I'm just saying, it's Harbaugh changed a lot of lives. If it was for Harbaugh, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't give a damn about
the hopefully he can change the quarterback's life, because he ain't showing a lot of signs. I ain't giving Harbaugh shit till he get that boy to a first round win.
First of all, that's on Herbert. That ain't on Harbaugh.
Now it's on Herbert. So Derwin James plays all Harbaugh, but we ain't doing that.
No. I said I don't give a fuck about Derwin James before or after Harbaugh. And another thing is, I didn't give a fuck about Justin Herbert before or after Harbaugh. The Harbaugh is the Chargers. Whoever's the quarterback of the Chargers is going to be fine.
I don't really have many takeaways from it because I don't really care about the Hall of Fame game. But I will say that, like, one things to watch out for in the preseason is you always want to watch, obviously, how backups are playing. You want to be able to look at, like, your O-line depth. You want to be able to see just key positions that during the wear and tear of the season, who could pop out and make a name for themselves. I see, like, just around the league, a lot of undrafted guys making some headlines with smaller teams, not smaller teams, with, like, second teams and getting first team reps. There's a wide receiver out of Detroit that they keep talking about. I actually don't remember his name, but they keep talking about this one wide receiver in camp. I see the Steelers have guys like that, and just, you know, always watch out for those type of scenarios, because you never know when somebody can come be a Victor Cruz. You know what I mean? When he had his moment in preseason.
That was a magical season. That was a magical season, yeah. Bro.
Well, let's talk about the news that broke earlier, because it was a drastic change from what was reported early in the day or yesterday or whatever. But Shadur went from being listed fourth on the depth chart to starting Thursday. The news broke today. Because I was like, Shadur gonna get cut, bro. That's what I was thinking.
That's crazy.
I knew he was gonna get cut when that when the owner came out and said, look, nigga, I didn't pick him. He fuck what you heard. I don't want you.
Nah, nigga. I explained that too, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he said that.
Go ahead. What y'all think he's gonna do, man? How y'all think he's gonna do?
Shelton, go ahead. What was you about to say?
I was just going to say, I think he said that for his boys. Like, look, don't be mad at me. The GM picked him. He was saying that for his boys, not for us to think that Shadur sucked. He said that for his friends, and which was the other owners in the collusion for not picking him. Hey, it wasn't my choice. I let the GM make that choice. That means, hey, y'all don't be mad at me because he got a job. But we've watched, if you've been paying attention to their training camp, and once again, like I said in the chat, I'm not saying that Shadur is about to take this league by storm this year. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying as far as the five quarterbacks on that team now, what is it, six now, ain't it?
No,
they got six quarterbacks. They got
Tyler Huntley. Yeah.
Well, technically, they have six quarterbacks on that team. Out of the six,
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Out of the six on that roster, he's the most prepared to be the starter. Reason why I think he's starting this preseason game is they really just want to get a better look at him. And they are trying to protect the young quarterback. What's his name?
Gabriel.
Dylan
Gabriel.
No. The other two quarterbacks are hurt. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, he hurt all right. He hurt all right, Ken. They're trying to protect him. He hasn't looked good in camp. You don't want that exposed.
Well, okay, hold on. I'm all for a good conspiracy, but the reason why Huntley was signed was because Shadur was also hurt too. So are we saying that that's fake too? Like all
no.
three?
Of, what, no, so no, how, no, no. So look. So both Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel, they have not looked good in camp because Shelton. I've been following them too. Shadur has looked better than both of those guys in camp. We know that. Old Joe Flacco, he's not going to take no preseason reps. So just take him out the fold. He's going to be the starter week one. It is what it is. What the Shadur thing, Ken, is if Shadur is going to be our starter, who's going to be his backup?
So that's the reason why his injury?
He didn't fake nothing, Ken. This is all about the Browns trying to not have a media hoopla with Shadur starting. Because if they would have said, oh, Shadur's number two on the depth chart, oh, the internet would be going crazy right now. So I think they're trying to mitigate the fandom surrounding Shadur. But again, if you pay attention to training camp, you pay attention to OTAs, you pay attention to all of that, Dylan Gabriel is not the guy. He's small. He don't have the arm, and he's not processing. I know that the management keeps saying, "Oh, you know, we love how he's processing." You what, bro? He's throwing it to the DB. It's not like the DB's making a play on the ball. He's literally throwing it to the DB. When you watch Shadur has command of the offense. You know, so it is what it is. They're playing it. In my opinion, I don't like how they're doing it, especially because it's a black man, and especially because it feels like he's gotten blackballed and gotten the short end of the stick. But when you look at him in that training camp, the only quarterback that you could argue to say that that's better than him is Joe Flacco right now.
FIFO, I was listening to Ocho and Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And
be careful.
They said all that shit in training camp, the QB trackers, all that shit is bullshit. Don't even pay attention to it. A lot of that shit that you see that happens, some of that shit be manufactured and made up to make people look good.
It is.
They said it don't mean anything. These are guys that played in the league, Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were caping for him too, but then they also came around and was like, and they gave some insight into how shit be happening. They said a lot of that shit is scripted. A lot of that shit don't mean shit. The only thing that's going to matter is what happens in these preseason games.
Right. But isn't it interesting that he went from fourth in the depth chart to starting?
So
how often do you see that?
So
I see it because the other two guys are hurt, and I see that. Then they brought in and Huntley, and so my conspiracy theory is actually the opposite of you guys. I think that they're starting Shadur to avoid the backlash the other way around because there was outrage when he was listed fourth on the depth chart. They don't want this motherfucker, bro. Like, I think it's clear as day.
I'm with you.
So So it's yeah, so I think that they ended up starting Shedeur, who hasn't had a lot of reps with the first team or anything like that, in order to avoid the backlash, because it looks crazy to not start Shedeur when you got two and three other people hurt.
Man, it sounds like y'all saying the Cleveland Browns are a social experiment or some shit. Like, what the fuck? Like,
they are.
Is Shedeur, is he even real? Is it AI? Like, wait, what is this? Is he a Timbaland artist? Like, what the fuck?
I think trying to understand.
Is Shedeur sign of Rock Nation, Nick? Like, what the fuck is this?
I think I'm more so concerned about the Cleveland Browns. I have friends from Cleveland, kid, and they for some reason support this team. Still, six quarterbacks. That's what I was stuck. I think y'all said
six
quarterbacks, and three of them hurt.
If you got six, what that mean?
Who takes them seriously? Like, do y'all really take these people seriously?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like six Succession, when he was like, y'all not serious people. That's the Browns.
And that's why I'm like, and that's why I have faith that Shedeur should be starting by week three. I don't know if these preseasons will prove that he should start by week one, but I think by week three, because it's like he is clearly the best quarterback they have, but that's not saying much to me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like that's like two things can be true. It's like, yeah, he's the best on the roster, but the Browns ain't doing. They ain't gonna do shit for him. To me,
he's the tallest midget.
Yeah. To me, I hope that he does well in the preseason and still gets cut, so that he can go to play with Sean McVay in LA. I think that's the best place for Shedeur.
Any QB guru, they would, yeah, like, of course, Shanahan, any of them, like,
I don't trust that. Give me
anybody that can work with QBs. Like, if you can make Brock Purdy get $200 million, you can get Shedeur on a nice contract. So,
he couldn't do that shit for Trey Lance. We seen the best of Trey Lance because of Harbaugh,
but you see, sometimes it takes a couple years, but who knows. All I know is that the Cleveland Browns are not a serious franchise, and they don't even really deserve to even have this much inspection and investigation. Like,
and I think he only got one practice with the ones, so him playing with these guys will be it's like learning on the fly.
And they got the baby oil bandit rehabbing his Achilles. Like, it's bad, bro. Miles Garrett asking for trades, and he like, wait, how much? And then coming back to just play, he getting reps to work out. Like, that's all it is.
AQ, he said he needed a plan.
Yeah.
Six quarterbacks.
The plan was eight figures, bro. Like, what? It's like, what are you talking about?
AQ, we are in the freaky boy era
but you got Deshaun Sharp on the sidelines giving directions.
All right, man, let's get into our worst of the week and super chats, and we'll call it a night.
So we already talked about this earlier, but I still had to bring it back up. The worst of the week, Jerry Jones and how he's dealing with Micah Parsons' contract. He's going to get signed. That we already know what's going to happen at the end of this, but how it's being handled in between is what makes me think to the same question that Ken asked earlier, is like, has Jerry lost his fastball a little bit? Yes, he's lost his fastball, because this wouldn't have never gotten to this point if he was on his P's and Q's. We know we got to sign. We know what's going to happen. And it's just, it don't seem like they running a tight ship in Dallas. And I can say that as a Dallas fan.
Which team is this? The Dallas who? I don't.
Hey, mute his mic. Mute his mic. Mute him, Michelle.
No, I think the only thing, Lou, you're looking forward to right now is that documentary about the Cowboys, not even the damn season.
I still think that we're going to be good, and I know he's going to get signed, but it just all the extra shit, that's what make me hate saying that I'm a Cowboys fan.
Can you define like good? Like, what does that mean?
In terms of
numbers.
Like I said earlier, we can win the division. That ain't crazy.
Which division are you trying to win?
NFC East, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, all right.
It ain't
So
this is being recorded. I just want to make sure I understand. Q and Shelton, y'all are saying that the Eagles will win the NFC East. That's what y'all
saying. I'm saying the Cowboys won't win the NFC East.
I asked you that.
I don't care what happens.
I'm saying that
Dak Prescott is fighting Russell Wilson for the third best QB in this division next year.
Absolutely.
Y'all not answering the question. I'm asking y'all, will y'all team win the NFC East?
I'll answer the question, Lou. This is going to be the first year in what, 13, 14 years that somebody's going to go back and back. Yet. That's the answer.
So you think they will win the division?
Absolutely. Okay. Barring injury, yes.
You doing that too?
Am I doing that? I'm sticking to the fact that it's absurd that you think that Jerry Jones' run organization is vying for a top two seed division.
Stop. That's ridiculous. You're deflecting. I'm not asking you, will the Eagles win the NFC East?
I'm on some Epstein shit. I don't really, I don't know. What does that exist? I don't know what we're talking about.
Right now. Play the next thing. You ain't even got to talk. I know you was from the talk, but you ain't even got to. Cut it off.
What division? Man. I don't even know what he's talking about right now. You know what I mean? Right. That's crazy. Right.
Exactly.
Appreciate all the super chats and the members. Appreciate you guys.
The Dallas Cowboys are the Cleveland Browns with aura. That's all that shit is. That's all that shit is. Good merch. Great merch.
Weedon Boys said Rasheed Rice will be suspended for at least 6 games.
I want to. We gonna get to our picks and all that stuff later. I want to say a hot take, but I can't because I'm not trying to go.
Nigga, why stop now, nigga? Go.
I don't want to. It's early. It's early, Q. But the way that this Chiefs season is loading up, coming off that Super Bowl.
Here you come.
I'm just trying to say, listen, it may be a hardball season.
We've done that too many times.
It may be a hardball season. I'm saying it may be a hardball season.
I don't know if the Miami Heat and LeBron are going to get back again. They're getting back.
Rayshon Davis, Gesicki on the list is lower football IQ.
That's crazy.
Rashawn, if my mom wasn't on here, I would say something to you. I'm gonna let that be.
That's crazy.
All right. Last one, Blank964. Shelton, the Browns owner gave $230 million guaranteed to dry rub and still went to his wedding. He's clearly going against what other owners.
Dry rub is crazy.
What's going on?
Dry rub is diabolical.
He went to the rubbing tub. That shit is crazy.
Hey,
what is dry rub?
Yeah, you don't want to know.
You're spices, man.
You got a point.
It's spicy.
The same shit that Justin Tucker is not getting talked about for right now.
You got a point.
Lou, you ever cooked a steak?
Chill. Why are we talking about meat right now, bro? Chill, bro.
Can't take y'all nowhere, man.
You ever see Deshaun put the meat on the grill? What are you talking about, bro?
We over here asking goofball question. What is dry rub? All right, context, nigga. You know exactly what we talking about.
Little sleep, man.
You tell it. It definitely has a bad time, bro.
Man, he be looking like Winnie the Pooh when he's at nighttime.
Yo. Hey,
you need to just start filming in your pajamas. So you can
be careful texting Spike after dark. You be like, what you doing? He's been hanging out.
He's been hanging out. Hey, Q, can you order me some dry rubs?
I got my Wagyu hanging out.
Yeah, shit. Not in the one of your pools. No.
That's all we got tonight, man. Hey, man, we'll be back next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Make sure you guys come through. Can't wait to hang out with everybody again. And we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.